ओम शांति। Baba Smriti's on Shivratri were interesting because through the years we thought we knew what to expect, that Baba would take up some of the bhakti details and explain them. But yet somehow there was always an element of surprise in what Baba actually would pick up on. And so yesterday when we were hearing the second Murli on Shivratri, because yesterday morning the first Murli on Shivratri, and Baba had spoken about not just the point but the drops. So the surprise there had been the way in which Baba picked up on bindi and bund, drop. And then last night, the surprise was that in a Shivratri Murli, which normally is love and joy and celebration and explanation of bhakti, that Baba would take it in such a profound way on the subject of purity and silence. And so I wasn't expecting that, that Baba would be taking it in that level. But it was very powerful and very beautiful. And so the starting was, as one would expect, Baba talking about the celebration, the uniqueness of God celebrating our birthday, and the uniqueness of the fact that never in the Kalpa can there be the birth of the father and the child together. And yet here, as soon as Shiv Baba incarnates, from that moment, the firstborn, the son, Brahma Baba, takes birth. And from the moment that Brahma Baba has his awakening, then the Brahmin clan, yes, in time sequence it's different, but it's that moment that Baba starts sharing the secrets, and that becomes the start of the Brahmin chapter. So our birthday and Baba's birthday together. Baba gave us congratulations. Baba gave us love from his heart. And also Baba gave us blessings. And it reminded me of how when a baby is born, then the birth of the baby is, yes, a great event in the life of the family. Not just the mother and father, but the whole family. But also, the elders of the family give their good wishes, their blessings, their auspicious boons for the child, good omens for the child. So Baba was giving us all of that, the congratulations, the love, but also the blessings and the boons, dua, a very sweet word, the blessings that come from the heart of the elders. And so after all of that, then of course Baba started to compare the bhakti and the jnana, the memorials that exist, but the memorials bringing limited return, but some return. And so one day purity, one day fasting, and here, the lifetime. And so you can't count the days, but it's for the rest of your life. From the moment you take spiritual birth, from that moment on, the vow for purity, purity for food, the fast that Baba wants us to keep. But in particular, Baba emphasizing purity in thoughts, words, actions, relationships. Then Baba adds the word connections, but Baba kept talking about the four aspects, mind, word, action and relationships. So connections are also part of relationships. And so pure thoughts. It's interesting because if you talk to people out there and if you were to ask them the question, what is a pure thought? They would have difficulty in being able to identify it. And yet for Baba's children, pure thoughts are thoughts based on truth, thoughts based on the knowledge that Baba has given us, thoughts which are not concerned with the consciousness of my physical identity, but thoughts based on a higher consciousness, spiritual consciousness. And so, to what extent are my thoughts based on that higher consciousness? Are my words, and again the extent of purity that Baba described, that our words need to be not just pure and elevated, but like the Father. And that means, just as Baba's words are blessings, are my words blessings for others, or are they any less? So the height of purity that Baba's asking us to achieve is absolutely like the Father, equal to the Father, no less than that. And surely, even on a human level, the Father would like the child to be at least as good as he is, if not better. And most times nowadays, when families have children, their aim is to educate the children to a higher level than they themselves were educated. I've heard so many parents say, well, I didn't have a chance to go to university, but I want my children to go to university. Or they'll say, well, I managed only this much, but I want my child to have more than I managed. And so, always the Father wants not just equality, but even something more than that. So Baba also wanting not just the highest for us, but always, like today Baba saying, that which is the supreme for us. And so Baba wants our words and our connections, our relationships to be filled with such purity that it would be as if the soul were receiving a blessing from God, as if the soul were coming closer to God, as if those souls were able to get as much as they could from the highest, from the ocean. And over the last few days, another thing has been coming to my attention, and it was there again in yesterday's Murali. Baba gives us love, godly love. And through that love, Baba is able to pull us out of our body consciousness into a state of being bodiless. And so again, Baba spoke about how we've travelled from afar and we've come to Madhuban, but it's with the wings of love. It's not just on an aeroplane, but it's the power of love that pulls us to Madhuban. And the power of God's love is that which is able to break this connection of soul and body, which is so deeply entrenched that it's difficult even for a moment to step away from it. But the power of God's love pulls us away from the consciousness of the body. And so the other day it was, Baba gives you sakash when Baba's giving you drishti, so that you feel that magnet pulling you out of the consciousness of your limited awareness. And so again yesterday, Baba giving us godly love to pull us out of that. And so it's actually a very good method to use. If I want to experience deeper and longer periods of soul consciousness, am I able to maintain the experience of God's love? And if I maintain that experience of God's love, it's going to draw me out away from limited things into the unlimited, into that experience of the eternal soul and the bodiless stage. So the purity, the power of purity, the importance of purity, it's purity which is the foundation of my Brahman life. Just think about it. What does that mean? It means that when there's purity, I'm able to connect with God. If there's purity, my intellect is able to understand what is jnana, what is the purpose of the murali. And if my intellect isn't clear in that way, if it's caught up with human beings, I'm not going to be able to understand Baba's message for me, even though Baba's actually even speaking it through the murali. So often we say that the murali is the foundation of our life, but the quality of purity is going to determine the extent to which I understand Baba's murali. And so that state of purity in which really, truly, the soul is clean and clear, Baba talked about that much later also, but the foundation of Brahman life, it was interesting to hear Baba use that expression, because my birth as a Brahman is through purity. Without purity, I can't be called a Brahman anymore. And so Baba talking about its purity that is the foundation for something that we know in theory, and maybe we catch a glimpse of it sometimes, but of becoming worship worthy. Am I worship worthy? It's a tall order. It's something that is even higher than just praise. And it was very interesting because at one point, Daddy had asked us a question, what's the difference between being praiseworthy and worshipworthy? And Daddy's comment had been that when you're doing good things, people can see it and it's praiseworthy. And that's what happens in Laukic life, in Brahman life. Your doing creates the atmosphere of praise. But it's when you're being, when you're actually the embodiment of what Baba wants you to be, then that's not the doing. The doing is external, but when it's the being, when I'm being what Baba wants me to be, then in that stage I can move towards the stage of being worship worthy. And so that's much deeper, incognito, the work that's going on inside that's invisible. But that is that level of purity that makes the soul become worship worthy. And then Baba said, purity is also the foundation of all attainments now. I want peace. Well, how can I have peace if there isn't purity? I want Baba's love. Again, it's the purity that's going to determine to what extent I can absorb Baba's love. I want happiness. Well, if there's impurity creating a problem in some form or another. And Baba's talking about all the vices, not just celibacy. Baba mentioned that. And so a little bit of anger, a little bit of greed, a little bit of ego, any of those things. And that impurity means I can't experience the happiness that I would like to experience. So the state of total cleanliness, where all of these things have been removed, then the attainments that I want in Sangam Yuga, or sometimes people complain and say, well, how come Sangam Yuga is so difficult? Sangam Yuga should be easy. Sangam Yuga should be filled with love, filled with joy, not problems and challenges and issues. Well, all of these are coming, not because Baba's not offering me all the attainments, but it's because I'm not doing the work of cleaning all the things I need to clean out to be able to receive all the attainments that Baba's offering me. And so the cleanliness of the soul, having removed all the other stuff, to that extent, I'm going to experience the attainments of Sangam Yuga. Otherwise, there can be challenges, but the challenges come and it doesn't affect your happiness. There can be issues about health, about money, about this and that, but your happiness will stay. But the impurity is what is interfering in my experience of taking all the gifts and inheritance that Baba wants me to experience here and now. So that was very interesting for me to hear Baba talk about the importance of purity in that way. And then, of course, Baba went on to a topic that Baba talks about very often, and that is Maya. But again, it was interesting because Baba talking about Maya being sent away from a distance. When you see Maya approaching, you're able to say goodbye to it there and then, and not allow it to come and cause a problem, and then you try and deal with it. And so, what is Baba saying? Baba is saying that you should know yourself so well that you know what is going to cause an issue for you. What is it that's going to shake you from that state of peace and stability and happiness? And so, how much more time do I need to spend in soul consciousness to be able to know myself so deeply that I can identify that this is going to be an issue? Because Maya is not outside, Maya is inside. And so, seeing from a distance, I should be able to identify what are the situations that cause a problem. And if I can do that, then I can deal with it ahead of time and not allow it to become an issue. Maya comes, I haven't identified, and so it's already entered the door. And then once it's entered, then of course it's going to take advantage. Then I've allowed a waste thought to come in, a stray thought, a negative thought, and it's going to become a habit. And it's something that we've all seen in ourselves. If you allow a negative thought to keep coming, then that becomes a habit. Have you seen it? Certain things happen and you let a negative thought come. Next time, you're challenged again, because until you've defeated it, it'll keep happening until you've been able to deal with it properly. And so it comes and I haven't identified it and it's taken hold of me and it's going to come again and again. And it's going to then make me say something or do something that I wouldn't want to. And so this whole thing about being so aware that I can identify something before it actually happens. And otherwise, the carelessness. Okay, so I said something, I did something. And then I cover myself with the excuse, well, nobody's perfect anyway. Everybody's going through their own issues. So if this is happening to me, so what? So what's the big deal? And so that carelessness, of course, and once it's through in words and actions, it's going to again repeat. It's going to be the vicious circle that I was trying to extricate myself from with Baba's help. That I became careless and I accepted that, well, that's okay. It's part of life. It's part of the way things are. And so it's going to catch hold of me again. So that thought that begins in carelessness, that it's okay. And so Baba reminding us that catch it before it comes, and if it comes, don't accept that this is the norm and this is how it's going to be and so it's okay. No, it's not okay. Especially because now, and at that time when Baba spoke this morally, yes, we could see all the clouds gathering on the horizon in terms of what's going to happen. But now, the time isn't just clouds gathering on the horizon. Now I see that already the clouds beginning to drop water. the rain has started already. It's not even that I'm seeing the clouds and trying to estimate, well, when is it going to start raining? The rain has started. All the disasters we're hearing about in the world, whether it's human disasters of terrorism or whether it's other things through nature, the rain has started to fall. And is it optimism to think that even though I'm feeling a few drops, it's just going to stop? No, I think it's carelessness to think it's going to stop. It's not optimism. Reality is that it started a little bit and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Sometimes it reminds me of what they call the boiled frog syndrome. You heard about that? Okay, some have, some haven't. It's a bit of a gory example, but it works and it explains what's going on. If there's a frog put in water and the temperature is being raised, the mechanism of biology in the frog is adapting to adjust to the heat of the water until finally it can't adapt anymore. It explodes. And so human nature, we keep saying, it's okay, it's okay. This is how things are meant to be. This is how things are meant to be. In terms of all the things that are happening in the world, whether it's the plastics, whether it's the carbon dioxide, whatever it is, we say, it's okay, it's okay, we'll manage, we'll find an answer, until there are no more answers, it's just an explosion. And so we adjust to whatever is convenient for us, not adjustment power in the pure sense of being able to adjust to the highest ideals, but be adjusting just to carry on in our comfort zone. So, no, the rain clouds are actually now beginning to fall. And Sun Baba says, I'm not just giving you a signal, I've given you a signal. It's now happening. It's interesting the Baba said it then, but hearing it yesterday, you think it's true, it's now. It's not maybe next year or the year after. Now, how long things continue, Baba hasn't told us that. But Baba told us, tests will keep coming until the final paper. And so as the tests come, it's a chance for me to see to what extent I've been able to prepare myself in the way Baba wants me to. And the preparation that Baba talked about very much was this whole preparation of being focused with my mind and intellect, making everything very clean, the purification that Baba told us about already, but also clear. And when I was reflecting on clean and clear, yes, the purification, but the clear, it's not ego or anger or attachment or greed, but there's a little bit of an influence that's coming. And that slight influence that's coming is the shadow. And Baba spoke about how what Baba would like to see for all the children is to have the children constantly smiling. When there is that cleanliness and purity, then your face reflects your joy and your happiness, and it's like a rose that has fully bloomed. And just thinking about it makes you smile, doesn't it? A rose that's wilted, you don't smile when you see a wilted rose. You feel like picking it up and throwing it away. But when you see a rose that's fully in bloom, it really makes you smile. Just thinking about it makes you smile. And so when children have that state of total purity, then yes, their face is able to reflect all the treasures that God has given. To be able to see the face of God in you. There's a song that they sing like that. But it's true that when we look at the dadis, think about any of the dadis, and when they give you drishti, when they smile at you, what is it? It's not that human being that's smiling at you. You're seeing the face of God in you. You're seeing through their eyes, through their forehead, through their smile, the fullness and the completeness that is in God. And that's giving you that inspiration and example and courage. And so am I able to have that stage. Baba went through, when Baba was saying that, well, is it sometimes sad? Is it sometimes worried? Is it sometimes there are shadows? And it reminded me of a picture that we had done many, many years ago, and it comes in the illustrations of Raj Yoga. And so that was way back in the 70s, but it's a picture, not a very big one, but a little one, but it's an oval, and it has all the different faces, the moods of the human being. Do you remember that picture? We must find it and show you. But it's got about 36 different moods of a human face and all the different expressions that the human being reflects through whatever it is that's going on inside. Sometimes the happiness and the joy, sometimes the frown, sometimes the worry, the anxiety, the concern. And so Baba says, is your face unhappy? Is your face sad? Is your face worried? Is your face showing signs of labor? Or is it the blooming rose? And so the cleanliness, yes, that face of God in you, like the Father, that we use that expression. And so is it like that or any other trace? And I was thinking about influence and clean, that's one thing, clear. Think about how if there's a radio message being sent, transmitted, and if there's any other interference that's there, then you can hear the crackle and you can hear bits of the sound. And it's not just a radio message, even on our mobile phones. Sometimes it happens like that. Maybe the huge population of India, I don't know, but very often a local call and you're getting all these strange noises coming through. And so the interference. And when there's interference, you cannot understand what the person is trying to communicate with you. And that's on a human level. And just imagine, if there's any other influence on the soul, then that influence means that I cannot catch Baba's signals, directions or Srimad. And so maybe I think I am, but I haven't understood. And again, Baba used these two words that I'm sure you've often thought about, and Baba very often uses these two words together. Catching power, touching power. And so to me, as I was reflecting on this idea of the radio connection and the wireless and the interference that comes in, so the catching, yes, you're catching all the different messages, but within that, which is the one that is actually the one from God? Do I have that ability to catch? Is my receptor tuned to such a way that I really can catch God's signals? But am I able to be touched by God's signal to such an extent that I understand it and I know what I want to do now? And so, of course, the classic story of the Twin Towers, and Ram Prakash Bhai is still alive and with us today and has shared his story because he was able to catch and be touched by God's signal. What do I need to do now? And it meant safety for him, but it also meant safety for everybody else around him. 26 other people followed him down the tower to be able to come out to safety, and they saw the tower crash literally 2 minutes after they'd come outside. And so catching as one thing, but out of that you catch many things, but the touching, what must I do at this moment? And so my practice of keeping my mind clear and clean, to be able to keep my intellect again the same, so I need controlling power. Baba used that expression. Am I developing my controlling power? And if you want to develop anything, what you need to do? You want to develop any skill? Practice. If you don't practice, maybe you were brilliant at something 20 years ago, but since then it's lapsed. You haven't practiced. So now you practice again. Or maybe it's a new skill you've learned, but until you've practiced it, you're not confident that it's there as a skill that you really have, that you can use at your time of need. And it applies to anything, whether it's complicated things like computer programming or whether it's simple things like cooking, not so simple actually, but whatever it may be, driving, you haven't driven on the road for 5 years or 2 years or a year, you need to make sure that you're back in practice before you venture out on the road, otherwise you're in danger and you're putting others in danger. So everything needs practice. And so the practice of controlling my mind, controlling my intellect. Am I able to keep my mind and intellect at the stage of consciousness that I would like to have for as long as I wish? Or is it that I want to concentrate and I get distracted very quickly by this thing, that thing, or the other thing? And I don't think there's another way to develop that concentration or that capacity to control except 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. It'll develop exponentially. It's not 1 minute at a time, but it'll multiply, it'll grow. But I have to do it. And nobody else is going to do it for me. I have to do it for myself because it's in here and only I can manage. I have to be able to practice it. So the practice of stabilizing, concentrating, focusing my mind, my intellect, again and again and again. And together with that, then Baba brought in the whole concept of silence. Baba used that concept of science and silence, and Baba's comment about science was that science is reaching its extremes. The power to be able to control all the elements, the external nature, the power to be able to break atoms, fuse atoms together, do all sorts of amazing things that even 5 years ago would have been unimaginable. The whole story with drones, Baba talks about it in Sakarmuli's. They're sitting comfortably at home in one place and they press the button and the bombs will drop far away elsewhere and cause havoc. And so it's all happening now. We are seeing the extremes of science already. And given that, now how far do I personally have the experience of the power of silence? The stage that Baba describes sometimes as the seed stage. I, the soul, with all my faculties and all my powers filled within me, absolutely full and quiet. And in that state of quiet, then the experience of God's love and the power of silence being accumulated through that, and the power of transformation happening through that stage of the seed. It's something that Baba's explained regularly, that the burning of sins only happens through the seed stage, when the fire of yoga has come to that stage where truly all the accounts of the past can be burnt away. And so those who are 30 years plus are not here in this room. They're having their separate retreat now. But so the people here in this room, maybe 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, just under 30 years. So however long, if there's a feeling, and very often it's because we're looking at others and we're saying, well, you know, I've known them for 10 years, I've known them for 20 years, and they haven't changed a bit. Now, if ever I've had that thought about other people, let me turn the mirror the other way around and let me look at myself. Are there things about myself that I'm still doing in the same way as I did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? Are there still habits, patterns of behavior that in theory I know I should change, but I haven't changed those? Am I still allowing things to continue where I know that it's a little bit uncomfortable, it's not as it should be, but it's okay, I'm managing. So very often I feel we are managing our samskaras. We are not transforming our samskaras. And so the signal was a very, very powerful signal. Baba was talking about doing it now. And if you don't do it now, you'll never be able to do it. But the way Baba put it was very strong. Baba said, think about it. But the important thing is to do it. And if you just spend your time thinking about it, then at the moment when suddenly things are happening, it won't just be thinking about it. By then it will be thoughts of regret, thoughts of repentance. And so just leave it on the level of thinking without doing, without making that effort. I've said, don't even say try. I'm going to try and change. But if you do it now, with Baba's help, with Baba's blessings available, with the quiet, peaceful time that's still possible, now if you do it, it'll happen. Those sanskars will change. And the power of silence changing the world is far away. The power of silence first has to be that it's able to change my sanskars, and I see the transformation in me, and that transformation in me is also visible to those who are around me. They're the ones who know me well, and they're the ones who comment if I haven't changed. They'll tell me, you're still the same as you were. But if I have changed, they'll also tell me that. Yeah, you've come back from Madhuban, changed this time. Maybe that's the comment you're wanting to hear when you get back. You've really changed. Tell me, what happened in Madhuban that's really changed you, that's transformed you? And so the power of silence has to reach that ultimate point, that extreme point where the transformation of our sanskars happen, but also then the victory over science, the transformation of the world is able to happen also in the way that it should. And so the power of silence, to what extent have I practiced this? And again, seed stage, it begins with a minute, 2 minutes, a few minutes, but keep going and develop it so that it is that fire. So the Baba said, within a second. You know, sometimes we go through the steps, become soul conscious, connect with Baba, have churning, reflect on God's virtues, God's powers, experience a relationship with God, have a conversation with God. And all these steps are important and necessary. But at this moment, am I now able, having gone through the experience of all those steps, not jumping over them, that having experienced all of that, then yes, I know what it means to stabilize my thoughts and God's remembrance to the point where it's the fire. And so the power of silence and the bank that's only ever open now in Sangam Yug, and in fact not just now in Sangam Yug, it's actually at the end of Sangam Yug that Baba's talking about this bank that is actually open. And it was again fascinating for me that Baba mentioned two things. On the one side, silence, but on the other side, what did Baba say? Elevated action. And I was very grateful that Baba said that. Why? Because I hear a lot of people say, well, all I need is yoga. All I need is silence. What I need to do is to maybe settle things and find a way in which I can just be in yoga. We can create a small community, 3 people, 5 people, 10 people, but we just focus on yoga. And I've said to those people, but I've never heard Baba say, only have yoga now. Baba's now saying that do a lot of service, a lot of good karma. But yes, with the right intention, the right motive, the right state of mind, the right consciousness, the right awareness. But don't say, I'm not going to do service, I'm only going to focus on yoga. That's not what Baba's talking about. Yes, surely there's going to come a time in the future when it will be not possible to do service. You won't be able to leave your home, you won't be able to leave your center, you won't be able to go here and there, you won't be able to have public events, people will not be able to come to your programs. Sure, that's the future. It's going to happen. And whatever effort you've made for your own stage of yoga now, that's what's going to help you then. But now, it's time for a huge amount of elevated karma also, not just yoga. And again, Baba gave us the drill to be able to practice silence in a second, but then come back in sound, come back into the action and the things that you need to do. Elevated karma. Just spend a few moments reflecting on that. Have I used this physical body of mine to do good karma? Whether that means cooking or cleaning or typing or doing administration work, but it means using this body, not just using my head. I think very often now we forget about that. But the purification of my body is going to happen when I've used this body of mine for good karma, elevated karma. And where today, very often, we think that it's creative work that's important, it's giving gyan that's important. Yes, of course it is. The Baba said, mind, body, wealth. All the resources that you have. And so, I'm just speaking gyan, and I'm not using this physical body of mine for good karma. There's something missing there. I'm losing an opportunity for that part. My words, yes, of course. But it's not just giving lectures and classes. It's my behavior through the day. When people walk into a center, they don't just walk in to hear a class. They come in for the atmosphere. And the atmosphere in a place is created by the interaction that goes on before the people have walked in. And so you've created an atmosphere of harmony and yoga through not just a lot of silence, but through sweetness in your interaction with each other. That's the atmosphere that draws souls. And so, what is the atmosphere we are creating that's going to do service or not allow service to happen? And so, my words, not just for 10 minutes or half an hour, but my words all the time. And then, my actions. What are my actions? Thoughts, words, and actions. And so, what are my actions? Are my actions filled with kindness? As a child of God, maybe the way that others see how it is that God is working through you is through your kindness. They don't see the work you're doing inside with purity. They don't know what time you get up to have your Amrit Vela, whether it's 3 o'clock or 3:30 or whatever. But they do see your behavior. And is your behavior filled with kindness? A simple word, but it's a word that people recognize out there. And so, am I being kind in my actions? Am I using my wealth in the right way? Am I using all the jnana that Baba has given me in terms of sharing it in the right atmosphere, the right awareness? So all the resources that I have, it's my karma that I'm now accumulating in the bank. And so once Sangam Yoga is over, no more possibility for accumulation. The bank is shut. In fact, Baba said, but the bank doesn't exist at any other time. It's only in Sangam Yuga. So my power of silence, to what extent have I developed the power of silence? And so am I accumulating that within the bank? And how much good karma every day am I accumulating again within the bank? And so I found that, again, a very beautiful idea that there's a bank that exists and you can deposit in the bank. It's open day and night at the moment. But once Sangam Yuga concludes, then the bank shuts down. There's no more possibility of banking anything further. And whatever I've accumulated, I've stored, that's going to be what I draw upon through not just half the cycle. But it's a question I've always had. How come some are born lucky and some seem to be born with misfortune? Well, trace it back, and it goes back to Sangam Yuga. The starting point of everything is Sangam Yuga. And so now in Sangam Yuga, to whatever extent I accumulate both my yoga power, my silence capacity, but also the good karma that I've done. And I know that when I first came to Baba, I had a very, very powerful thought. And that thought was, those who came in the early days, they had a chance for tapasya, and then after that service. But we don't have that chance of tapasya, of just isolation in that same way. But is it possible for us to accumulate the same? And we have now double possibility. At that time, there wasn't so much possibility of elevated karma. They were a community, they were a family, they lived together, they laughed together, they ate together, everything was family. But today, we have both possibilities. The Baba is saying, it doesn't need to be half an hour, 3 hours, 1 hour. Take moments, take minutes, and just keep adding on, accumulating. And so Baba's given us that freedom. And so let me see at the end of the day, was I able to even taste a moment of silence? Many moments of silence, long stretches of silence, even though I was engaged in other things. And so whatever it is I'm engaged in, Baba spoke about having that higher consciousness and that inner stage of yoga, as you do whatever else you do, as you come into contact with each other, as you engage in the task that you have that's in front of you, all of that continues. But my accumulation of yoga power, but also my transformation of the task so that that same task becomes elevated karma, because I'm now aware who I'm doing it for, why am I doing something. And so transforming karma all along the day, you know, the karma I do for myself, my physical needs, am I able to transform that through soul consciousness so that I see this as an instrument, really truly an instrument that's precious and I have to take care so that I can continue to make effort and do God's work. Am I able to keep that awareness as I eat and bathe and rest and whatever else I do when I do my Lokik job? Or maybe it's service at the center, but it's not vocal service, it's not visible service, maybe it's incognito background service. You know, for every program, there's one speaker who'll speak for half an hour, whatever. But how much background work did that take to make that platform happen and bring together 50 people, 100 people to hear that one person or two persons? So there was a possibility of fortune all along the line. All along. It wasn't just fortune for that one individual. It was fortune for everybody who gave that finger of cooperation to make it all happen. And then the people who come, how were they cared for? Do they feel that loving care and nurture in the atmosphere? Do they go away with that sense of having been taken care of and belonging? Who's done all that? It's many, 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 many. And so an opportunity for good karma in so many incognito ways. Maybe you're just in the audience of the program. Maybe you haven't even done any background work for the program. But you being there in the audience, sending out your good vibrations, talking kindly to the people who've come, instead of seeing them as strangers and ignoring them. How often have you sat next to someone you don't know at a BK program and you don't know them, but never mind who they are, it doesn't matter, I'm not bothered. Do I go out of my way to have a little chat with them, to make them feel comfortable? They're in a new environment. For me, it's my home, my environment. So my point is that there's unlimited opportunity for good karma, elevated karma, kind karma, through the whole day, absolutely, non-stop. And so let me accumulate as much as I possibly can and take advantage of this time that I have. So Baba's talking about time running out, suddenly things happening, we're seeing that. In London, we've had a number of people suddenly fly away. Somebody said to me they go away for a few months from London and come back and one of their friends has gone. And so we keep seeing it in front of our eyes. Some of you know Sue. Sue, who used to be in Oxford. She's been ill, but she's managed her illness with a lot of courage and faith. And just a few days ago, the soul flew away. Very peaceful, very calm, bright, shining. Her family were not in Kian, but they were spending time with her in the last days, and they were saying that it's amazing how she managed it all. So you don't know what's going to happen when, suddenly. But as those sudden tests come, am I able to pass them with the power of love? Baba told us, all of you have passed in the percentage of love, but not all have passed in the percentage of purity. And so if that's the work I need to do today, two homeworks that Baba gave us, the purity and the silence power. So a good powerful reminder of what we need to do for the coming year. 18th January is a new beginning, but Shivratri is also a new beginning. And so Madhuban is always a new beginning. So if you're spending Shivratri and Madhuban, a double new beginning. So what am I carrying away from Madhuban? For the homework I need to do. So let me be able to do that this year, so that by the end of the year, I feel comfortable and content that I did whatever I could possibly do. Without the regret, I wish I had done more. I wish I had understood more. But Baba's given all opportunity to understand and do and practice everything I need to do right here and now. So very powerful Murali, very serious Murali, more serious than I'd expected, but it was what we needed always. The mother knows what the child needs before the child is able to express and articulate his need. So this obviously is what we all needed. We needed to hear Baba being absolutely strong, straight down the line, no nonsense. You can't fudge it, you can't fiddle it, it's clear, black and white. Okay, so let's have powerful yoga, experience the power of silence, and a lovely another point that Baba was talking about. You need the power of silence to be able to serve and give souls the cooperation of Sakash that they need now. Sharing Brahma Baba's example, that when Baba knew that a special child had physical problems, Baba would be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, sending Sakash to that soul to experience the detachment from the body so that the pain wasn't troubling the soul. And also if somebody is experiencing other problems, maybe not physical issues, some other issues, but when Baba would know that a child is facing upheaval, again, Baba would send special Sakash to give the soul the courage and power it needed. And so, as Baba's helper, do I have enough silence power to deal with all my own sanskars and all the issues that come to me? But do I have more? Do I have so much silence power that I'm able to give others the cooperation of the power of silent support that they need at a time when they are in need? And so that's going to be more and more. You won't be able to run and help them. You won't be able to phone them and help them. But you'll be able to send your power of silence to them. So let's accumulate for the next little while. Om Shanti.